And now, we invite you to relax, let us pull up a chair, as the dining room proudly presents...
Hi, I'm Marcy Carricker Smothers, the author of Eat Like Walt, and you're on the road with Dane on WGN.
Be our guest, put our service to the test. Tie your napkin round your neck, Sherry, and we provide the rest.
720 WGN on the road with Dane, live here in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue. And on the line, we have acclaimed food personality, radio host, and author with her current book, sharing the fun flavors and, of course, food of Disney. Calling from Wine Country, the one and only Marcy Smothers. Welcome to WGN.
Well, thank you, Dane. Great to chat with you.
Well, it's great to have you on. It's always great to have you on. It's always great whenever we get an opportunity to talk. This is an extra special and amazingly wonderful reason, as you have written the book, Eat Like Walt, The Wonderful World of Disney Food. Now, everybody loves Disney, and you know a lot of, you know, our contemporaries, and I think the vast population of the world as a whole loves food. But for this book, what was it about the Disney food and maybe that history and legacy that made you write the book?
Well, I love Disneyland, and I'm a proud Disney geek and a day one D23 member. So if I could have any reason to write a book about Disneyland, I wanted it. And naturally, being a food person, I was looking at food. But my agent actually charged me. He said, there are so many bloggers blogging about the food. You need to find an angle that's unique. And so I started in doing my research. I found this obscure insert from 1955 from a local newspaper where Walt said, "Welcome to the Kingdom of Good Eating, where the food is as fabulous as the fun." And I still get goosebumps every time I say that, because then I knew that I had a proof of concept that Walt had intended the food experience at Disneyland to be as immersive and entertaining as the attractions themselves. So I wrote a proposal with the help of a few Imagineer friends to sit in me. And that helps because, you know, there's so much misinformation out there. This is before I had sold the book. And I wrote the proposal. It got to the Disney editions, and I sold the book. And that's really the key thing, because without the archives, the four archives and the help of the Disney company, I could never write the book. So it is a time capsule of Walt's life. You've got a copy of the book. I think it's exquisitely beautiful. It was designed, and I call it Mid-Century Masculine to reflect Walt. So it's a time capsule of his life. It ends when he passes away, or just after, in 1967, when the three restaurants he championed in New Orleans Squares opened. But every image in that book, whether it be a photograph or concept art or a painting, 90% have never been seen before in the entire world.
Wow.
And I think what makes this book so unique is, as I was researching it, I realized it's a bigger story than just Disneyland. It's Walt at home and Walt at the studio, because in 1940, he had four state-of-the-art restaurants, and they were all subsidized like we hear at Pixar and Google and Amazon do now. But he did that because all the other little studios that he had, although, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs was made before, never had restaurants or commissaries on the lot. So it's a comprehensive look at a simple, wonderful man, Walt Disney, was brilliant through the lens of food. And so it's intimate, you know, food's intimate, and so is, you know, the story's about Walt. I don't think most of them have ever been out there.
No, if you think about this, and so many people that are excited about Disney love that history of Disney as well, and they love to be able to get back there, see the origins of it, and certainly the times when he was around. On the food side, that is something. If you mention in the photographs in the book, it is beautiful. I've got to tell the listeners, get out there and get it. Just for the visuals alone, it is definitely worth it. But on the food side, to have that, because here's the thing. You know, we talk about food festivals. People think of kind of the elevated food festival, especially at an amusement park situation. You have characters and rides, things. We think of that as being relatively recent, that it has been, you know, something that has been front of mind. To hear that that was a thought process from the beginning, back when people are kind of inventing like the microwave and TV dinners and everything quick, to have him thinking about that and have you documenting it is amazing.
It was an innovation when Disneyland opened. And also, part of the fun of the book is, you know, now you can eat like Walt. Walt wasn't a fancy eater, but every recipe in the book, there's about 35 of them, are all vintage of Walt's era. Never been published from his home. Recipes from the studio, and then recipes from Disneyland, such as the Tahitian Terrace's ribs, which are up on my website, eatlikewalt.com, and you can get one of the vintage recipes and actually see some images of what the Tahitian Terrace looked like back in Walt's day. So, you know, what I really wanted this to be, the type of book that you could look at and think it's beautiful, read, it's 50,000 words and 2 years of research and history, or, and cook, and and eat Oswalt. Well, and when you do, please get some, you know, whether you use Sonos or Spotify or Pandora, listen to some Disneyland music. Put it on. And you got to have the whole thing, just like Walt would. I mean, I even have his granddaughters, very cool, very helpful with the book, as was the Walt Disney Family Museum. We were sitting one day talking, and I said, tell me what you would see when you would open your grandfather's refrigerator. And they start rattling all the stuff off. And it was just so commonplace to them. And I'm like, stop, shut the door. And I put the recorder closer to him because I know exactly, and it's in the book, what Walt had at home. And, you know, one of my favorite stories in the book. So it's a great way to get to know Walt, get personal with Walt. And I'd like to add, Dean, that something that really guided me tremendously, Herb Ryman, who is the artist that drew Disneyland in 48 hours with Walt by his side in 1954, he said in an interview, because everyone in my book knew Walt, there's no third person.
Wow.
Herb's passed away, but he said this, it's for people like yourself to have the privilege and duty of presenting Walt as a human being, a person that can be known, somebody you can be close to. And I was feeling that while I was writing it, but when I read Herb Ryman's words, I knew that was it. It presents Walt as a human being. It doesn't deify him, but it lets you know who he was as a person through the lens of food.
Yeah, and to have him kind of represented in that food space is, I think, not only very unique, but also very, very cool. So I think it'll be the kind of thing that people who are fans of Disney in general will absolutely love. Food fans and foodies are going to love it as well. Now, Marcy, I know that you're a Disney fan, and I've known some of the, like Robert Gilbert, who's the executive chef down there at Disney World for the Magic Kingdom, that recently in X amount of years, they've looked to try to kind of elevate the food even more, right, and have either fine dining spaces or some of the themes stuff in there. Have you gotten a chance to head and what do you think of the food, you know, at the parks these days?
Well, it's a great question. I'm actually with Walt Disney World. It may be the next book I do. Walt's plan, it was called Project X, all the way through to Epcot. Definitely by the time Walt Disney World, you know, 65 when he started planning Walt Disney World. And by the way, it's always called Walt Disney World because there wouldn't be a Disney World without Walt, and it's an important distinction, you know, for fans.
Absolutely.
So with Walt Disney World, Walt arrived, in 1966, but he was also having Imagineers plan the food. So you saw that go forward to Walt Disney World, whether it be, you know, the Mickey Mouse-shaped ice cream or any of the other kind of iconic foods. With regards to elevation, it's 100% you're right. I mean, even Disney 10 years ago when they started the Healthy Food Initiative, they were changing the stuff in the parks, right? For the kids, it's not soda now, it's milk, and you get sort of fries, you get apples and all sorts of things to eat healthier in the parks. And then particularly the resort side at Disneyland, where I'm closer to in California, Andrew Sutton, the food he is serving at Napa Rose and at Carthay Circle and Disney California Adventure, if they had Michelin stars in L.A., he would get one. They don't have Michelin stars in L.A. He is that good of a cook. He deserves a James Beard Award. If they had a category for resorts and wineries, they should add. So I can't speak as much to Walt Disney World because I'll be there for my book launch September 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And I'll have a chance to try more of the food, but I read all about it. And I think it's part of the thing is you can do everything at Walt Disney World. It's a whole family experience, and you can eat really well, whether it's a great hot dog or, you know, Victoria and Albert's, which is one of their famous steakhouses.
Yeah, and you think about, like, Epcot Food and Wine, ways that they've incorporated. You mentioned the launch of the book, kind of the debut of it. There is a lot of excitement, a lot of buzz generated for it because this is, you know, as exciting as a book in general can be, this one has a built-in, you know, global fan base. So, Marcy, let people know, like, what does it take to get out there and adequately support a book like this? This is going to be huge.
Well, first of all, Dane, thank you for your support. I'm just so excited to bring it to the world and so excited to present Walt this way. So you can go to my website, eatlikewalt.com. There's all sorts of fun things to do there, including looking at the images of what the park looked like in Walt's day, the restaurants in Walt's day versus today. On eatlikewalt.com, there's a direct link to Amazon. But I really want to encourage people to start hanging out at eatlikewalt.com. There's all sorts of fun surprises there. And, again, it'll give you a little bit of an immersive experience like Walt was like and entertain you while you order my book.
A fresh look at one of our iconic and most beloved figures, I want to say in the world, but certainly here in America as well. And then to do it through that lens, like you said, of food is exceptional. So one more time with the website before we let you go.
It's Eat Like Walt, all one word, eatlikewalt.com.
Marcy Smothers, you know, always active, always doing some great things, and now doing something I think that everybody is going to be able to enjoy in their own homes as they get that book. Marcy, thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for being on WGN today.
Thank you, Dane, and all the best.